Jesus, draw me near. Closer, Lord, to you. Oh, let the world around me fade away. Oh, Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to you. I desire to worship.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is that your desire tonight? To be drawn closer to Him so that we may worship and obey. Isn't it good to be back in the house of the Lord? Are you glad to be in church tonight? Why don't you just give the Lord a big hand clap of praise? Amen. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. We just been having some tremendous services. The Lord has just certainly been meeting with us in a wonderful way. And I'm sure not only us, I heard the camp meeting was just absolutely wonderful. And God bless that camp meeting, the missionary camp meeting over in Ruth. And well, we're just here tonight to worship the Lord all over again. How many of you come to worship Him tonight? How many of you come to get something out of this service? How many of you come to be a blessing to somebody? Now turn around, shake their hand and say, God bless you, you mighty soldier. God bless you. Brethren, play some more of that tonight. Play it like you believe it for a little bit. Amen. Well, we've come to have church tonight. We're going to serve notice on the devil right now. The doors are not locked. If you want to leave now, devil, go on, get out of here. We're going to have church here tonight. We're going to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in this place tonight. Satan has not got a seat in this building. He is not welcome to sit nowhere in this church. Tell him to get on out. Now give Jesus Christ one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at our prayer requests tonight. Brother David Moyer and his mayor, I hope I get that name right, David Mayer from France. He and his family are here tonight visiting with us. He's going to be coming just in a minute to lead us to the Lord in prayer. Certainly glad to have those folks with us in the service tonight. Any other visitors that's here, we certainly welcome you. Let's look at our prayer request. This is from the Baker family. We want to thank you all for your cards, calls, most of all for your prayers. During my father's passing away, we sure do appreciate and love you all. You are a great church family. That's from the Baker family, and Brother Baker and Sister Baker and that family, we say you are a great family. Amen. And we're glad to have you as part of our assembly. We certainly are. Brother Keith Strader says to please pray for Danny Lambert, who is sick. Also have prayer for my dad, Jack Strader, has arthritis in his leg, so we certainly want to remember that tonight. Want to continue to pray for Sister Linda Nunley for a complete recovery. The Lord just be with her. And Brother Ed Yance is here in the service with us tonight. Brother Eddie, God bless your heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. He just wanted to let you know that because of your prayers and because of the good Lord answering your prayers, that's the reason he's here in this service tonight. We love that family too, don't we? Amen. God bless Sister Faye and Brother Ed Yance. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, please keep me in your prayers. I have an urgent unspoken prayer request the Lord knows all about. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Brother Gene Littleton says, please remember my granddaughter's husband, Blake Ward, who is in the hospital with viral meningitis. Also, Brother Gene says, I would like to thank everyone for their prayers for myself over the last few years. That is what has brought me through. Thank you so much, Brother Gene. We love you so much. God bless Brother Gene Littleton. Amen. Sister Helen Weeb sends us in to have prayer for a man by the name of Vince. He is suffering from cancer, 24 years of age, and they're just asking that we would remember him. Also, John Anderson, facing legal problems, really needs a touch from the Lord and an answer from God. So let's remember that prayer request tonight. Sister Janet Kennedy says, please remember my mother in prayer. Doctors has found a lump in her breast. They will be doing more tests, so we certainly will pray for that need tonight. Please pray for a special unspoken prayer request for Angie Brown. The Lord knows all about that need. Brother Gary and Sister Lona says, please remember the family of Brother Sam Case. of Mammoth Springs, Arkansas, in prayer. He passed away last night. Also remember our son-in-law's mother in prayer. She had a stroke last night, so we certainly want to pray for that need. Please pray for Brother Dal Ornduff, having a lot of pain in his feet, so we want to remember that need tonight as we pray. Sister Lisa Vaughn says, please pray for Matthew and Rosie Caraway and the family. Matthew's grandfather passed away on Thursday. Please say a special prayer for Matthew's mama, as they've been married for 71 years. And this is especially hard on her during this time. So we want to remember that prayer request. All the unspoken needs, if you have something tonight you'd like for this group to pray about. You believe we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems? You believe that tonight with all your heart? Could we stand tonight as our brother David comes tonight to lead us to the Lord in prayer? We're certainly glad to have this. Where would his family be? Would you just raise your hand wherever you're at in this the assembly? Where would they help me find them, somebody? Are they right over here? God bless you. So glad to have those folks with us in the service tonight. And certainly glad to have Brother David with us tonight. Want you to come and greet the saints and lead us to the Lord in prayer. God bless you, brother. Glad to have you with us.
Good evening, saints. It's a great privilege and honor to be in the house of God tonight. Amen. Like Brother Branham says, we are the happiest people in the world. Amen. And that's how we express our gratitude to God, by our praise, our worship. Amen. And so the requests have been spoken. Let's bow our head in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, it's such a great honor and privilege to call you Abba Father. And tonight, Lord, we have gathered here in your house. And your word says there where two or three are gathered in my name, you are amongst us. And Lord, we know without a doubt that tonight you are here to bless your people. Father, there are many requests, but we serve a living God. We know, Father, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord God, no matter what the request may be, Lord, your word says that now we are the sons and daughters of God. So Lord, we confess the word. Lord, we know that now we are sons and daughters of God. And Lord, all spoken and unspoken request, Father, we want to apply the token and say, Lord, now in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, every demon has to flee. And Lord God, it's about time, Lord, let this bride takes position, Lord, that she realizes who she is in this end time. So that's why, Lord, we want to cast out all fear, cast out all reasoning, Lord. And Lord, we want to, Lord, only believe what the word says. And Lord, we know, Father, that you heal, that you're still the one that heals, that you're still the one that set captives free, that you're still the one, Lord, that provides for a job or takes care of legal matters, no matter what it may be, Father. You're the same God, Jehovah, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh, Lord. And here tonight, Lord, we want to express, Lord, our gratitude, Lord, with our praise. And Lord, instead of Lord, just Lord having a bad attitude, Lord, we came into the house of God, Lord, with worship and adoration. And Lord, no matter what situation we may be, no matter what the symptoms may be, we want to praise you, Lord God, because you alone are worthy to be praised. And Lord, we know, Father, that our problem is already solved, because you said, Lord, if we bound something on earth, it's bound in heaven. So Lord, every demon spirit, we want to bound him in the name of Jesus Christ, and we have the victory tonight. Lord, we pray for Brother Donnie, Lord. May you anoint him, Father. Lord, may you use him, Lord. Oh, Father, we're under such a great expectation, Father, for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We don't want another meeting, just another meeting, Father. We want another, Lord, meet you another time, Father. We want another refilling, Lord, of the Holy Ghost. So, Father, Lord, you know every spoken and every unspoken request. And now, Lord, we put everything into your hands, Lord. And may you do what no man can do, but, Lord, what you're specialized in. And that's to do things that are impossible, Father. But you do miracles still today. Great things today. And, Lord, we want to give you all the glory and all the worship. We pray and ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And amen. Praise and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you, saints.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. God bless our brother. Amen. I asked him if they sang, and he said, no. I said, would you like to learn while you're stateside? He said, no. So we're going to let him off. He'll be praying for us again, Lord willing, in the morning. And we're just so glad to have these folks with us.
Amen.
You know, it's good to be a Christian. It's good to live in Satan's living room and be a son of God. We're in Satan's Eden. This is his house. But we're still children of the Most High King. We worship a risen Savior. He is alive tonight. He is alive. Glory. Somebody say praise the Lord. I had one song picked out, but we're going to sing another. Let's do it this. Brother Joel Brown, he's not here. Is he here? He's not here tonight. I don't guess it. In the service. All right, we'll do it without him. We'll survive some way. Let's sing that song, Be Bold, Be Strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. You know that I seen, and I hope it's true because it's been repeated time and time again, that in the Scriptures, 365 times it says, do not fear or be bold. Don't be afraid. That's a day a year that you've got a Scripture. You've got a promise from God Almighty. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. We get shaky. We shake in our boots sometimes. But hey, we've got a leader that's never tasted defeat. He don't even know what defeat looks like. Are you glad to be on the winning team tonight? Give him one more hand clap of praise. Play a little bit of it for me. Oh, let's worship the Lord for the next few minutes, church. Let's get ready for the preaching. Praise the Lord. Let's just sing this little chorus just as Brother Brandon gets ready to give us a special tonight. Sometimes it's hallelujah. Sometimes it's praise the Lord. Sometimes you just want to weep before Him because of what He's done for you. But to get alone in His presence and let Him just speak. Maybe He's never spoke to you in an audible voice. But I find in His Word, Brother David, that He speaks to me every time I read His Word. It's Him talking to me. He wrote me a love letter. Are you glad He wrote you a love letter? That's His Word. Somebody say praise the Lord. Sometimes hallelujah. Sometimes praise the Lord. Sometimes gently the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated tonight, Brother Brandon Green. We love this brother around here. He's going to give us a song tonight.
I'll try Key of A, brothers.
I'm a man, flesh and blood, of just one thing I'm sure. I was made from the dust, and to dust I will return. But the dust ain't the end, 'cause in my heart I know I'm spirit and soul. To the Father's home I'll go. Be assured, if you trusted in the Lord, all who call on His name are gonna live forevermore. If you live in the darkness and the fear, there is a love, only love, He will wash away your tears. Pouring love into you, the Spirit of the Son will flow through you into everyone. Well, be assured, if you trusted in the Lord, all who call on His name are gonna live forevermore. Oh, I know, 'cause the Spirit lives in me. The Spirit of the Son says a son I'll ever be. Well, I can be assured that my home is up on high, 'cause I found it in the Word of the One who never lied. Be assured, if you trusted in the Lord, all who call on His name are gonna live forevermore. Yes, be assured, if you trusted in the Lord, all who call on His name are gonna live forevermore.
Praise the Lord. Get us a chorus ready. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Brandon. Ushers, why don't you come and receive the offering tonight? We appreciate these brothers. They're back there waving their money at me, and I knew I'd forgot the offering. And I appreciate it. Now, Brother David Brother Darrell had told me that Brother David requested him to sing. And I knew you'd rather hear this brother right here sing more. So that's why we didn't use you tonight, Brother Darrell. We'll get to you, though. I love Brother Darrell Ward, don't you? He's just a tremendous brother. Him and Brother David Siler went to preach for this brother on different occasions, and he said they just really blessed their congregation. We're blessed to have some great helps and great ministry out of this assembly. The Lord has been so good to us. Let's sing a little chorus tonight as Brother Donnie gets ready to come bring us the word of the Lord. Let's just sing this, He's Got It All in Control. Do you believe that tonight with all your heart? Do you believe that? Do the rest of you believe it? You're not raising your hand, everybody, but do you really believe He's got it all in control? Somebody say, I believe it with all my heart. Amen. Sing it, buddy.
He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. Put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all. Put my life in His hand. I put my life in His hand. Every road I walk down, I'm sure is in His plan. I put my got it all in control. He's got it all in control.
That's our King. He's got it all in control when it looks out of control. That's right. Let's turn tonight to the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, if you would. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, we'll begin reading verse 11 through verses 16. She has delayed her response to come to the door. He has turned and walked away. She's now went through the city. The people have found her. They have beaten her, mistreated her. Now she runs across the daughters of Jerusalem, and she begins to tell them, if you see my beloved, tell him that I'm sick for love and that I'm looking for him. And then they say, what is your beloved more than any other beloved? And then they repeat it, what is thy beloved more than any other beloved? And then she begins to respond. Now keep in your mind that this Shulamite was a country girl that was from the north country of Palestine. According to history, Solomon was there one day taking a tour out of the country. And he sees this beautiful girl. Probably many of these words that she has used thus far in the Song of Solomon, they've been totally new to her. Her language and what she has learned how to talk has been totally transformed. She's a poor girl. Probably never saw marble. Probably never saw a lot of frankincense and myrrh, which is very expensive perfumes. But the atmosphere she's been drawn into has changed her. And she's now talking by the new environment that she's been inspired by. Wasn't something she's born in, something she's raised. She wasn't raised a rich girl, she's raised. Glory. We can talk about deity and grace and mercy and all that. You know why? Not because we was raised in it, because we experienced it. We was brought into it. Now watch her now with this in mind as you think of this poor, poor girl that many of these things she'd never even probably seen before coming to the temple here. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks, now watch the cheeks here as they protrude and rise up out of his face. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble, set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, and she gets in rapture with this person, and she just runs out of adjectives, and she says, he is altogether lovely. Watch now how she caps it off. He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. Amen. O daughters of Jerusalem. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, may we also tonight, Lord Jesus, be so enraptured with your person. As me and Carol was sitting at the traffic light, Lord, just a bit ago, and she said, you wonder where all these people are going. I said, well, probably some of them may be going to the hospital, some of them going out to eat, some of them going to do what they love, because it's the love of their life. She said, I'm so glad we're going to hear from the love of our life. Amen. That's the way we feel about coming to church, Lord. It's not a routine, it's not a ritual to us. But we know, Lord Jesus, looking at your word, hallelujah, it's the great invitation of the King himself that lets us come in these sacred holy times and these sacred places in Christ Jesus. And we want you to know tonight, you are the love of our life. Hallelujah. May you take your word and speak to us tonight, Heavenly Father. Anoint us, would you, Lord? You see our needs. Though our needs might be many, your ability to meet them is greater. So speak to us tonight from your word, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Certainly want to welcome Brother David and his family tonight to be with us. They know us, but we don't know them, since they stream here and all that sort of thing. So they know y'all's faces and Brother Louis' face. And he looked at Brother Louis a while ago and greeted him like he'd known him all his life. And Brother Louis got this look on his face. So it's family, though, isn't it? It's family. We so appreciate the family of God. The bride fits in this category that the foolish virgin cannot fit. The 144,000, whenever they receive the Holy Ghost under the witnesses of Revelation 11, they will not quite have this relationship with Christ either. But the bride has been given a special, special place. Amen. And it was truly the grace of God that gave this to us. Unmerited favor, nothing that we could ever do, nothing that we could purchase or buy on our own. But we were given this in Christ Jesus before the world began. And looking at this, it helps you to see that when the bride begins to express the love that she has and the feeling that she has for the Lord Jesus, how that sometimes the daughters of Jerusalem will begin to hear her talk. They will see the passion. They will see the emotion. They will see the attachment that she has to him, and they become moved by what she is saying. The downside to that is that when many of them try to reach that spot, if they're not elected to be able to reach that, they can only go so far, and that's as far as they'll ever be able to go. But we know that a person who really is met by the Lord Jesus and captured the way she has become captured by him. Now, I hope that you understand this, that really whenever we become captured by him, he releases the power back to us to where we have the divine ability to turn around and capture him. I don't want to get into that tonight. That's tomorrow's thought. But I want you to think that he said to her, turn away your eyes from me, for one of your eyes has overcome me and captured me. And in chapter 7, we'll look at it in the morning, that he says the king was held in the galleries. The king was held in the galleries. I pray God helps us before we leave this series to see a little bit more clear of what he has deposited in us and the hold that we have over him. Oh God. Now, whenever that happens to an individual, it's beyond explanation. It's beyond words that they know in their language to be able to convey it. All they know is it's true. They know it's real. It's not a figment of their imagination. They just know that something has happened to them in such a real way that the Lord Jesus is more than a book. The Lord Jesus is more than going to church. The Lord Jesus is more than thou shalt and thou shalt not. He is a person. To me, I love hearing a preacher preach about Jesus, and when he gets done, he helps me fall more in love with Jesus than I am with the preacher who preached it. If you fall more in love with the preacher who preached it than you are with Jesus, you got a problem somewhere. Either you do or the preacher won.
But I want to be the type of preacher that I want to preach Him so real that when I get done, it makes people hunger and thirst after Him in such a real way that it creates such a desire in them not to know me better, not to brag on me. Oh, Brother Donnie this and Brother Donnie that. If that's all you've got on your mind after this service, I'm a miserable failure. But I want you to think about Him in such a way and talk about Him in such a way and have such a love for Him in such a way, then that proves to me and every other preacher that we are successful in being able to bring Christ Jesus so real before you that you desire Him more than you ever have in all your life. You see, the bride calls Him her beloved and she calls Him her friend. I realize for much of Christendom in the world that we live today, many of them know Him as Savior. The church is saved from their sins. They're not saved from as far as the judgment, missing the tribulation period. But many of them are saved in the sense of saved and being church, but they're not filled with the Holy Ghost. So therefore, they don't know Him as the kinsman. They do not know Him as friend. They will meet Him as judge. And when they see Him, He will not have black hair. He will have a wig on. But when the bride sees Him, He's got black, bushy hair. Why? Not one gray streak, because He's not meeting her in judgment. That's why when the wigged one appeared in 1963, He had to be unveiled by Elijah to prove to the bride, He's not coming to judge you. He is your Savior. He is your Redeemer. So when the bride looks at Him, she does not see the wigged one who's coming to pronounce judgment, but she sees, hallelujah, she sees her King, her Provider, her Redeemer, her husband, her lover, her Lord, and He is black-headed, and His hair is bushy. Glory. Amen. He is not her judge. He is her beloved. Now, this is her confession of Him. He is my beloved, and He is my friend. Now, what kind of friend is Jesus to us? To many folks who feel like that Jesus is their friend, it is a friend in high places, and they sort of look at Jesus as you would a politician. That you'd think you've got somebody in the mayor's office or in, somewhere in a high position, slipping a little money or a little favor, and they can get you out of trouble if you ever need it. Well, I know a cop, I know a judge, and he can do this and that. And that's the way many of them relate to the Lord Jesus. But to the real bride, the Lord Jesus is not a friend in high places who gets you out of trouble all the time. But He is an all-powerful friend that is so intimate to your soul that you sit down and talk to Him like He is your closest buddy, because in reality, He is. Now, many people I know around the message don't know Him this way. They still look at Him as a judge. They're terrified of Him. They're afraid of Him. One little mistake and they think, oh God, He's going to kill me, because they've never been baptized into friendship with Jesus. You know, most of the time when I talk to a young couple about getting married, I ask them, do they love one another and have they prayed about it? And I've told you this before, but I always ask them one more thing. Do you like each other? They always laugh at me and they miss what I'm saying. Because as a pastor, I found out folks can love one another and still not like each other, which means they won't get along. Because the things you don't like about your husband or wife will create the problems that you'll have many, many years on down the road. And many folks, they say they love the Lord Jesus, but they don't really like Him. They don't like His standard of holiness. They don't like because He sent Elijah. They don't like many things about Him, but yet they love Him as their Savior, but they don't like Him. They don't like church. They don't like emotion. They don't like worship. Oh my, to me, I love all that. I love Jesus, but I like going to church. I love Jesus, but I like shouting too. I love Jesus, but I like His Word. I like His standard. Don't you? So to the real bride of Christ, He is her beloved and He is her friend. Now notice how she says this. This is my beloved And this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. So then this powerful friend that we have, the Lord Jesus, he has power over nature. He has power over divine providence. He has power over the entire kingdom of God, as we know. And Christ is an unchanging friend. And he is a caring friend, right? He is a friend who ministers to us in our time of need. Now, all of us have made friends and lost friends. Maybe you disagree over something and you couldn't reconcile and your friend is gone. Somebody you've known for years and years and you thought, my, that was the friend I thought they were. Well, apparently they were for a while, but something come between you. But if you ever get this friend, the Lord Jesus, there will never be anything that will ever be able to separate you from that love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we're talking about a friend that will be with you when you're good. We're talking about a friend that will be with you whenever you come to a spot to where you're afraid or you're frustrated or you're trying your best to believe and it seems like the fear has actually got a hold to your life. He still loves you then. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is a friend that loveth at all times. He loves you whenever you're good. He loves you when you're not so good. He loves you when you're on the mountain. He loves you when you're in the valley. He loves you when you come to church and he loves you when you stay out. He loves you when you pray. He loves you when you don't. He loves you when you read the Bible. He loves you when you don't. He likes you better when you do, but he still loves you when you don't. Look at the difference between love and life. You've got a closer relationship to him when you do all the things he wants you to do, but he's a type of friend that even when you become indifferent toward him, and many times people do, well, they blame God for this and blame God for that. He's still a friend that sticks right there by you, and he will do for you as you will allow him to do. He's a friend who ministers to us in our support and our great time of need. Now I want you to notice how that she goes to his mouth in verse 16, and she said, his mouth is so sweet. He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend. Now a real friend of mine and yours will prove himself that they are our friend. They won't just say, I'm your friend, I'm your friend, I'm your friend, but they will do things that a friend can only do. Now, you know that you and I might have really close friends, and if we ever got in a real close, tight spot, you know, and say, hey, buddy, would you loan me $100? Sure, I've got an extra $100. I'll be glad to do it for you. But there's probably other people in the church that are your friends, but you wouldn't feel close enough to maybe ask them. You'd be embarrassed, but you feel like this friend knows you, and that friend will kind of keep it quiet and won't tell, hey, friend, I'm having some difficulties. Would you help me? Oh, sure, I'll be glad to help you. And you're the type of friend you'd go back and do the same for them, would you not? Because friendship must be reciprocated. So the Lord Jesus is the bride's friend. So he proves she was her friend. And I put down a bunch of things that I want to share with you tonight. So if any of you are in doubt whether or not you are a friend or he is a friend to you, you might want to go back and look at this friendship list and find out and see if Jesus has done these things in your life. And by the time we reach two or three of them, I hope the devil's done one out that door and out the back door, maybe even busted out one of them windows. And I hope all of your fear and all your unbelief followed him straight out. Because I want to try to my best tonight to preach to you that Jesus Christ is a friend that will help you no matter where you are. That he is a friend, or brother, sister, that will come to you in the time of need even when you don't deserve it. He is not just a friend when you deserve it and you do good. But he is a friend when we mess up big time. And when we made a mess out of our life. And we made bad decisions. But he is a friend that loveth at all times. He is a friend that is willing to bear your reproach and your shame. Aren't you glad you know him that way tonight? He don't just stick with you. Can you imagine my shame that the Lord Jesus had to bear on the cross? But that's only half the story. How much shame has he had to bear for me after I become a Christian? Oh my. He is my friend and yours by his espousal of me. Amen. He is my friend by becoming a surety for you. By assuming my nature. Now listen what this friend done. This friend espoused you. It wasn't you that asked him, "Will you marry me?" It was him that asked you. As a matter of fact, he slipped the wedding band on your ring, on your finger, before the foundation of the world. Predestinated, unmerited grace. And he became a surety for you, your friend now. When you were in debt and you had a great debt between you and God, and there was the justice of God and here was your sin, what did he do? As we looked at Moses Wednesday night, when Moses stepped in the breach between God and the people, and God said, "I'll destroy this people and I'll make a nation out of you." Oh, but the psalmist said that Moses stood in the breach, and when he stood there, God said in the book of Numbers, "I have pardoned them according to thy word." Not according to my word. Not according to a lamb. Not according to a turtle dove or a pigeon. But God pardoned 2.5 million people because the words of a prophet of God. Oh, let people laugh and ridicule and make fun of us following Elijah. But all I know is God said, "I'm going to send wrath on the earth unless I send Elijah." Amen. Aren't you glad God sent Elijah on the earth before he annihilates it? Hallelujah. Watch what your friend done. He assumed your nature as a human being. Through the act of creative condescension, he condescended to become in the form and the likeness of human flesh. Hallelujah. By assuming her nature, your friend suffered in your stead. Your friend paid your debts and purchased your person. Glory to God. He not only paid your debts, but once he got done paying your debt, he bought you and you are his. Therefore, you are no longer your own. You are bought with a price. Oh, hallelujah. When the little Ruth climbed up that night and pulled Boaz's cover down over, she knew what she was doing, because she knew that pulling that cover over her was a sign of betrothal. And when she reached up and pulled it down, hallelujah, she was saying, "Be merciful to me." And what did her friend do? Her friend got up the next morning and loaded her down. Amen. And sent her right on back to her mother-in-law. And her mother-in-law said this, "Sit still, my daughter, for the man will not rest till he has finished this thing." Listen, little bride, our Lord Jesus will not rest till he has raptured his church. He will not rest till he has resurrected thousands of years of saints. That's my friend. That's my beloved. Hallelujah. You remember in your life when you was out like little old Ruth, the Moabitess, the Gentile, but you found yourself laying at the feet of your Boaz. Remember what she said about him? His legs are like pillars of marble. How many marble columns were there in Solomon's temple? Two. Yashin and Boaz. What was our salvation built upon? Not two legs of a pope. Not two legs of a preacher. But the two legs of our husband. Amen. Our husband's legs was not broke at the cross. Our salvation ain't dependent on our emotions. Our salvation ain't dependent on what I don't feel say. Your salvation's not based upon that. It's based upon Yashin and Boaz. Strength and excellency. Hallelujah. So your friend paid your debts and purchased your person. Notice this, by acting the part of an advocate on your account. He looked in your checking account and you was way overdrawn. You didn't have not one penny in your spiritual savings account. Your CDs were gone. All your bank drafts was every bit done. You was busted. And you was headed for bankruptcy court, lost. You're so far gone, the devil didn't even figure there's no need to even send a lawyer down there for you. But nobody came, but Jesus showed up. Your friend, hallelujah, your friend
and your advocate. Oh, you say, I need the best lawyer that there is. I need the best lawyer I can find. God said, I've got the one you need. I'm going to become a human being. In the form of flesh, I'll become your friend. Amen. I'll become your friend.
Look what your friend did by granting you large supplies of grace and affording help and relief in the times of need. That sounds like a real pal to me. Even when I don't deserve it, even when I've not been my best. Now, you know how it is. Yeah, we are. We read our Bible. We pray. We do everything we're supposed to do. We feel more worthy of God's blessings. Then it's like we have more faith. You ain't got more faith. You got more hope. You're looking at your own works, and then you're married to by that. Well, I prayed. I read my Bible. I fasted. I paid my tithes. I've done everything. I'm ready. I want to do this, that, and the other. But what about when you've not done so good? What about when you've not obeyed the word that you know you should? Well, he's going to cast me to hell. Not if he's your friend. He ain't going to. I have bore shame for many of my friends. As a preacher, I have bore shame. Some of you have bore shame because of me, your pastor. Not because I don't live a good life, but because of what I preach. You bore shame by being identified at Happy Valley Church. Come on, children. But why haven't you turned and walked away? Because you believe God set you here, and you're not ashamed to be identified as a friend of Donnie Reagan. Which I certainly honor you for that. But even bigger than that, we're not ashamed to be identified and be a friend of this message. I am identified tonight as a friend of Malachi 4. I am a friend of Brother Branham. Call me what you want to. I am a friend to this message. And the rapture is for friends. Oh, hallelujah. The rapture is for friends.
By being your friend, he has disclosed very deep secrets from his heart.
Moses said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John said, in the beginning was the Word. But in this day, God wanted you to even go further back than that. So he let Brother Branham go farther back than in the beginning, or in the beginning was the Word, and he let him go plumb back in the back part of God's mind and begin to tell us the secrets. Who's it to, Brother Dave? Friends. Friends, who do you tell your deepest secrets to? Oh my, maybe a brother or sister. More, you just feel like you can trust them. That's the way the Lord Jesus, if you can only understand it, that's the way he feels about his bride. Can you imagine us having the intimate relationship that if God had something on his heart, he'd be able to tell me and you about it?
Debt to the church world. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And we got to love everybody and just accept everybody the way they are. And you can tell they're not friends by the way they're talking. Oh my.
He is such a friend that he sticks closer than a brother. That loves at all times. Constant. Faithful. And always to be confided in. Rich, powerful, everlasting, unchangeable. I'll tell you one thing, it sounds like to me we've got a friend in a very high place. It sounds like to me we have got a rich, wealthy, powerful friend. Amen. So if I ever need, what if I need something? Let me see here. Whoa, turn page. Okay, here it is, Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. Let me turn back over a little bit. Psalms 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. Well, back to New Testament, St. John 15:7. If ye abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask what ye will. If any to one earth agree as touching any one thing, what? I have a covenant with my friend.
If I need healing, he suffered stripes, my friend did, on his back, so I could be healed. He's not just my Redeemer. He's not just my God. He's my friend. Oh, hallelujah. Now watch her. She says, his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. And this is my friend. O daughters of Jerusalem. Is this not enough that I could describe my beloved to you? Can you now blame me for loving him the way that I do? Am I now so misunderstood by you daughters of the churches because I want to give him everything? Once I explain to you how I feel, Happy Valley, when once you see how I feel, would you think I'm such a curious, odd person that I want to give him my all? Now watch, they respond. Chapter 6, verse 1. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside? Now you've told us what he means, but seem like you're going through a trial. Seem like you're going through a real low spot and you're searching for him and you're looking and where is he? Now watch what they ask her. Where is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Where is thy beloved turned aside? Why do you want to know? That we may seek him. We'll see. Now, as soon as the bride gives the very emptying out the essence of her soul, foolish virgins go to respond. Now, watch. They never said nothing about seeking him until after they heard the essence of this person that she described, and she was so moving that she moved them. Now remember, it's not been him that has moved them, it was her. But it was her genuine, sincere love, and it moved them. But remember, they're daughters of Jerusalem, not daughters, not the prince's daughters. So they'll never be able to have what she had. They'll never be able to know him in that way. Well, should not they respond? I believe they really should. Should we invite people? Should we witness to people? By all means. But don't expect everybody that hears what you have to say to be this. Where's your beloved gone? Where's he turned aside? Now, they're no longer asking, why is he so different? Why is he different? They see why he's different now. Amen. And they see it through her. Lord, children, don't you see what's happened to this girl? She has become the epitome of his invisible presence. Before that, ask him, well, where is he? Well, what's different about him? I don't understand. What's such a big deal about him? What's different about this church and that church? Well, my goodness, all churches are all the same thing. But once they begin to hear her talk about it, then they said, oh my, well, where is he? I want to go too. They never ask her anymore, well, what is your beloved? What's he different? They knew what he was. They didn't know it by experience, but they heard the bride talking about it. Friends, don't you understand why a lot of folks in the message in the last couple of years have pulled away? Don't you understand why? Many of them are exactly like this. They heard their mom and daddy talk about what they had with God. And they heard the pastor of the church and, oh my, they seen him crying. They saw it was so real. So they tried to commit their life to it. And many of them didn't have the ability to do it if they were not predestinated to life. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. So what do? Then they turn and go here and go there and feel more comfortable sitting in a denomination than a message church. Isn't it amazing that a person on fire with the love of God can affect so many others by their testimony of an unseen person? She had become the visible image, hold on, of the invisible God. Well, I hope I don't sell you. If it does, I'm sorry. Here comes another one. The prophet of God said in Deity of Jesus Christ, 1949, he said, and there's a Christmas message, he said, we're not worshiping some baby in a manger somewhere, but we're worshiping deity inside of you. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad we don't have to wait till Christmas time to worship deity? I have him in me every day of my life. And I'm going to live it in such a way that I can reach out and let others know there's something different. If we can't, we are failing. If all people know about us as our doctrines and our theology and our ability to argue and fuss, that was not what got their attention. It was her description of him.
Glory to God. Now watch her. Now they've asked her. So where is he? Where's he gone? Where's he turned aside? All right now, bride. You've got the answers to the devil's questions. Now speak. Now watch her in verse 2. My beloved is gone down into his garden. Now, wait a minute. I thought she was looking for him. What is it? The unrecognized presence of God. Now, it's like something clicks, something happens, and she realizes, I know where he is. I know where he is. If he's got a garden on the earth, I know where he'll be. Remember, the first occupation of man was a gardener. It wasn't a house builder, it wasn't a painter, it wasn't a farmer, it wasn't an electrician or a plumber. It was a gardener. That was the first Adam. God. The second Adam come to restore man's original post. As what? A gardener! So what has Jesus got? Jesus has got a garden. What was Eve? She was a garden in a garden. What does the word Eden mean? Pleasure. What did the Lord Jesus come to do? He come to restore that original position as him being the gardener. What if he is a gardener? He's got to have a garden somewhere. Hallelujah. And what is that garden going to be? It is the garden of Eden, which is his pleasure. He gets pleasure out of us living for him and serving him. Now what? She sought. She sought because she couldn't feel him and couldn't see him. She thought he wasn't there. But now when it comes right down to being asked, it's like she realizes he's here. Where? In his garden. All you got to do is find his garden. He's in his original occupation. What's he doing to the garden? What's he using preachers for? To dress and to keep it. This is why we still need a live ministry, saints. What's it for? To dress and keep the garden. This is what true sons of God, anointed by that same Logos, are doing. They're not just patting the people on the back and rubbing their head, oh my, but they're dressing and keeping the garden. So here she sees it. Oh my goodness. He's here. He has descended into his garden. And of course, the garden was revealed in three pools. Oh, let's not go into that. Now watch, chapter 1, verse 2. Listen how now as she begins her introduction to Christ. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine. Because of the Savior of thy good ointments. Now, of course, this is written in the terminology of what had been very familiar to the people of that day, somewhat today. But this was a custom among lovers, husbands and wives, that they would anoint their bodies. And they would have this fragrance or aroma. And then each one would compliment the fragrance
that they smell from their husband or wife. Now watch how she approaches him. Because of the Savior. Notice where the Savior is. The Savior of thy good ointments. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Now she sets forth a twofold meaning in this ointment. And one is that in the ointment is saving capability. Glory to God.
I know I got the advantage on you, but I'm trying my best to behave myself.
Because of the Savior of thy good ointments. Now watch then, she goes into the second fold. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. So here she goes in and shows that the ointment, watch, the ointment is there, but his name was the expression of the anointing oil that was poured out. So now it's entered into the diffusing state. So all the anointment, all the anointing oil, all the fragrance in the world, who would ever know what it smelled like as long as it's in a bottle? But whenever it enters into the stage of the name, then it becomes open and the fragrance begins to fill the room. That's wonderful, but it also must be poured out. Now watch how she looks at him as being her redeemer. This is now her first experience of being saved from where she came from. Remember, she came from a rocky, hilly country where there were lions and leopards, and she's now identifying the King as her Savior. Don't get mad at me. Brother Branham did not save me. My mama did not save me. My daddy didn't save me. It was my King who saved me. Now watch, I found this to be absolutely amazing when I went to look at this. Because of the Savior of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Now watch, the word name in Hebrew is Shem, S-H-E-M. The word for ointment in Hebrew is S-H-E-M-E-N. Shem and Shemin. So the anointment is the name. And the name is the broken anointment. As long as you got the right name. Now this don't work with titles. You've got to have a name. Notice she didn't say your titles are the anointment, but your name. Glory. So Christ. Now watch this. Christ has his name. I wrote this down so I wouldn't skip over it. Christ has his name both in Hebrew and in Greek from ointment. Now this is where Christ comes from in the Hebrew and the Greek, and that is ointment. So when Moses anointed, hallelujah, when Moses anointed the priesthood, it was the breaking forth of Christ. Amen. Look at her recognizing that you are my Savior. Not only that, not only did you save me from sin, but your name broke this precious fragrance over my life, and I now have become that fragrance personified. I'm not just now borrowing, hallelujah, I'm not just now borrowing that anointment, but your name, Shem and Shemin, has anointed me that I am become that fragrance. Glory to God. Now watch the word Messiah, Christ, and anointed all come from the same word, ointment. Watch this, Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good things unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Glory. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. To give unto them beauty for ashes. Oh, that's what we had. That's what our lives were. Ashes. And what did he bring out of it? A phoenix. Amen. He took a life that was a bunch of ashes, nothing but an ash heap, and he brought out of them ashes like he did the dust of the earth. God never went 6 foot down and got Adam's body, but he took the dust of the earth, that which is the most light, that which flies around with every wind. That's what God made man out of, and out of that he made beauty. Hallelujah. This is his name. To give unto them beauty. This is what your friend traded for. I'll take your life. Some of you drug addicts, drunks, liars, whatever more. And you're still Jesus with a beautiful life. A beautiful, holy, godly life. And he said, I'll trade you this for that. Of course, we've been burned about so many trades, we didn't trust him. Ain't no way you want to save me. Ain't no way. You're burning me up. No, I'll trade with you. I'll take your ashes. I'll take your mess. I'll take your shame. And I'll give you this beautiful, holy, sinless life. Finally, talked you into it. Some of you still can't believe it. You still can't believe it. You're still struggling and thinking, can it be that way? Zach said that way. Let me reassure you, it is that way. This is the kind of friend that you have. Notice he said to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy. Uh-oh. So if we're going to get some oil of joy, there's got to be some anointing somewhere. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now let me just be quite honest with you. I don't understand how you have the first and not have the last. Some of y'all say you got a beautiful life and you got this, that, and that. You come to church and here you are with all this old heaviness. Hey, go ahead and move on down to the third pole of this promise. Come on. The beautiful life is wonderful. Come on, children. The oil of joy is wonderful. But he said, I will give them the garment of praise. This is why the real bride loves, amen, loves to praise the Lord. It's part of what she's wearing. Well, if the music gets right and the temperature, it ain't got nothing to do with any of that. If the organ blows every tube in it and the drums fall apart and the piano strings fall off in the floor, I can still praise him because I've got on a wedding dress of praise. I traded my garments and I got a garment of praise. It's in my nature to praise him. It's in my soul to praise him. It's what I wear to church. Hallelujah. Oh my. The garment of praise. So here you come. Let's everybody praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you happy? Yeah, right. All right, brother. Shut up and sit down so we can get through with this, would you? And all of a sudden, something goes to moving around. And you feel somebody kind of nudging you a little bit. Take your shirt off. Take your tie off. Right here, Lord. Right here. What? I got a garment of praise. You're so weighted down, you can't even hardly clap your hand. Somebody's down to clapping your two fingers. Oh, that wore me out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. To raise your hand, you need to get some old heavy clothes off of you. Laodicea packs a heavy garment, friends. We've got all the world, we've got politics, we've got all this stuff around us everywhere. It tends to even weigh the bride down. Come on, you know it's the truth. It tends to weigh us down in our home life and weigh us down in our marriage and our walk with God. I think we need to change clothes. Oh, glory. I think we need to take them old garments of heaviness off and give them back to the devil and say, devil, you take your old clothes back down to hell. I'm putting on garments of praise. I don't have to be weighted down like this. I'm a Christian. I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
that they might be called the trees of righteousness. Sounds off the sad unk second Adam's back on his job again. Woo! The gardener's back on the earth. Hallelujah. What's he doing that we might be called trees of righteousness? The second Adam is here, children. That they might be called the trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. Or the Bible says in the book of Genesis, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. I'm telling you, the gardener's here. I'm seeing his work right here tonight. He's here. Oh my, I'm seeing him take and then dig around our trees and get all the weeds and all that. What is this? The gardener here again. Don't get mad at the preacher now. You ought to look around and say, hey, it's the second man, Adam. Oh. What she says, because of the Savior of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Which indicates abundance. That's what it means. Abundance. The ointment itself is diffused. So his name manifested the person of God. Brother Bram tells us in Shreveport, 1965. So the word interpreted is the manifestation of the name of God. That's why people can scream Jesus and Lord and Savior and all of that. But you see, it's not saying the words. It's being anointed with the name. Right? Now God was big Elohim. And he changed Abram's name to Abraham. Right? A-B-R-A-H-A-M. Now Brother Bram said, now I'm big Elohim and you're little Elohim. Well, Jesus could say it this way, I'm Mr. Jesus and you're Miss Jesus. Well, if I truly have that name, then brother, sister, don't you make fun of me when I get anointed by the power of that same name and my cup goes to run it over sometime. Why? Because I am the representation of that name in bride form. I am anointed. My life is diffusing the power of that name. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, can I go on? Watch her now. Psalms 45 is also called a psalm of love. Now, if you notice this or not, but in Psalms 45, you begin reading verse 1. We won't read that, but we'll pick up in verse 13. Notice what he says now about the bride. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought deity. Now, this is God's word. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. My God ain't never said nothing yet he wasn't big enough to do. You ain't going to be thrown before the Lord an old grass sack. Or an old feed sack out of some mill somewhere that's as rough as I don't know what. And you throw there before the Lord and the arm halfway out and you got a big rip over there and a big tear over there. But when you walk before the king, glory to God, you walk before the king with gold on. And you will walk before the king with some of the finest, most intricate needlework that has ever been made, because it was made by the Lamb himself. And he's using this fine needlework of the God called ministry. That's why we needed a prophet in the last days. Luther couldn't produce this needlework. Wesley couldn't produce this needlework. But God sent Elijah in the end time to be able to produce a clothing to dress the bride in. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He said she will walk before the king with fine needlework. But remember, needlework is very slow. Which is really difficult for us in Laodicea. Because everything is instant. Instant coffee, instant potatoes, instant pudding, instant preachers, instant everything. You send a text to somebody in France or Belgium, wherever it is, in a matter of seconds, bam, it's gone. It's there. They already responded back. How in the world did it get there? You send hundreds of miles. There it is. And then God says, all right, now stand still. Stand still so I don't poke you. Stand still now. Stand still. He said, Lord, are you about done? No, I just got started. I ain't got but about that much, but that much done in your life. Give me time. This is intricate work. And we're standing there 3 or 4 minutes after we get saved. Glory to God, I'm my adopted son. Hallelujah. Where's the devil at? Let me speak to the winds and the storms. And right. After about 20 to 30 years, we look around and we've got about that much done. What do you think? Do I have to wait for a whole shirt? Am I just getting a tiny hanky? Maybe. Lord, how long is this going to take? All of your life. But don't worry. I have always finished every piece right on time. I always beat death. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Because you know now why the virgins get to come in, don't you? Because they're called to help her. If it wasn't for her, they wouldn't be there. With gladness and rejoicing, they shall be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Now watch what she says back in chapter 1, verse 4. Draw me. Draw me. We will run after thee. Draw me. Man does not have that ability to come to God on his own. Or he says, I search and I search and I search for God. Come on, friends. When are you ever going to face reality? It wasn't you searching for God. It's God searching for you. Now, the real bride is not Free Will Baptist. You see, this separates her from her will right here. Recognize she's not recognized. Well, glory to God, I made up my mind. Oh, hallelujah. I'll tell you one thing. This is the real bride. Draw me. I'll be lazy. I'll be complacent. I'll be sorry. Lord, I'll be, I don't know what I'll be if you don't help me. But what she do, Brother David? She turns to the source of the drawing power and she says, draw me, Lord. Draw me. You draw me. It's the only thing. If I get worked up, it only lasts for 2 or 3 months and I'll be right back where I was. But if you set a revival in my soul, oh hallelujah. If you start a revival in me, Lord, it'll last even when my flesh gets weary. Come on, children. Draw me. Man is away from God. He has no inclination nor desire to return. He wants to use God as a spare tire. When he gets in trouble, he wants to call on God. Oh God, please help me. Oh God, please help me. But then whenever the issue's gone, then he's right back where he was. But when God draws him, this is the cry of predestinated seed. Draw me, God. Watch Jesus, St. John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me. Draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. So if God draws you, you have got a sure ticket for the resurrection. If you've done it yourself, your mama done it, I don't know. But if God draws you, if he ever draws you, it's up to him to finish the work. Notice St. John 12:32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. James 4:8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now notice she says, draw me. And we will run after thee. David said, I made haste. I made haste. When? After God started drawing.
Now, when God draws, brother, pick up your britches as it was in the Old Testament when they gird their loins. You know what that meant, don't you? That meant they wore a long outer garment. When they would gird up their loins, when Elijah girded up his loins, he reached down there and grabbed a hold of that outer garment and he took that girdle and he tied it up. Why? Running's coming on. Hallelujah. He ain't going to walk and will just take his old time going down there. He said, go over and tell Ahab there's an abundance of rain coming. He said, how do you know? He said, I see the cloud over there, the size of a man's hand. That would work all right in that day, but now we look over and see one the size of a man's head. Hallelujah. That hand worked all right back there in the days of Elijah. But in this day of Elijah, we look up there and we see a cloud like a man's head. Who is it? It's our Lord up there. It's our Lord. No longer just the hand, but the head. And what's the head doing? He's looking down on the earth. What for? The rest of his body. Amen. He's looking for his bride. Hallelujah! Draw me, and we will run after thee. And notice what she says. The king hath brought me into his chamber. The blessing she sought after. Remember, I told you this weeks and weeks ago that the Jews call the Song of Solomon the holiest of holies. They won't even allow their children to read it till they become so old, mature adults. So here she is. She said, draw me, draw me, draw me and we'll run. And then after she says, well, run, she says, the king hath brought me into his chambers. Her prayer was answered. That quick? I mean, that soon. She recognized. Esther chapter 4, verse 11, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whatsoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king and to the inner court who is not called, there was one law of his to put him to death. Except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter. That he may live, but I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. Now here is Esther. Mordecai sends her the word. How do you know that if this was for naught to the season and the time, that you were made the queen? Bride, this is your hour. I'm not going to ask you like Mordecai did, how do you know? I'm going to tell you, you know. You know you were called for this hour. For this very reason, we're not called to be queens so we can sit around and show off our pretties. We're not called to be queens to sit around and show off like we're something another. We're called for a purpose. We're called to stand up and speak the word and go into the inner sanctum of the king. Esther chapter 5 verse 2. And it was so when the king. Glory to God. When the king saw Esther. He had not bidden her for a month. But here she comes. No doubt his favorite dress. His favorite hairstyle. His favorite perfume. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, you want to move the king's heart. What are you going to do? You're going to give him what you know he likes. Well, let me tell you what our king likes. He loves praise. He loves adoration. He loves a consecrated life. He loves people that will lay aside the worries and the works and the troubles. And they come to the house of God. And they enter into his courts not with grumbling and complaining, but with praise. If you want to get the king's attention tonight, don't complain and grumble. But enter into the king's court with praise. If you come with grumbling and complaining and fussing and arguing, he probably won't listen to you. When you study this time, you know he's lost a great battle. He's had great losses. Many, many of his men are dead.
It's a very difficult time for the king. But the king just didn't quite know what he needed. One glimpse of his queen would turn us all around. Hallelujah. So here she comes, all the courtiers in the courtyard, all the great people and this, that, and other, waiting for an audience, waiting for an audience. And here comes Esther, walking in like who she is, the queen of his heart. Now she comes down, oh, King, please, don't hit me, please, don't hit me, I beg you, oh, King, please. What's that going to make him look like in the eyes of the people? You go to him like you're beat, like you got a husband that whips you and all that sort of thing. What do you think that makes him look like in the eyes of people? But approach him worthy of his name. Blessed Lord Jesus, Holy Redeemer, El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, El Gabor. Hallelujah. What are you doing? You are conveying how you feel. And she walks right up. You imagine the people. Here she comes. Now, I can't walk like a woman, of course, but dead giveaway, right? You know, stumbling around like a man. But here she comes. Everything's going on in reason. Where have you been? My love. And he reaches over, grabs a hold of the vindication. Reaches it out for her to touch the top of the head. Esther, you are accepted. And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And she was a, glory to God, I'll tell you one thing. We believe in the serpent seed and water baptism. We don't believe in... She wasn't saying anything. She was just standing there, emanating who she was. And he is so overwhelmed, glory to God, by her presence, Judah. When the king saw Esther, the queen standing in the court, she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Let me close with this. Psalms 27:5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a revelation. And the bride will be waiting for the revelation of the rapture, he tells us. Remember when Brother Branham preached the rapture message? This is the only time in the entire message from 1947 to 1965 that Brother Branham ever reads or refers to Psalms 27. Now, he said, I want to read Psalms 27, 1 to 5, and use this as a background for the rapture. A background for the rapture. You read that and you find out. Look around us and see if it ain't a perfect background for the rapture. In the time of trouble, trouble may arise. They may want to shut down our church. They may want to do this and that and the other. But don't worry. He'll reach out the scepter of the rapture to the queen. And we will find favor in his eyes, saints. Amen. We will touch the scepter. And when we do, our bodies will be changed. Hallelujah. We will touch the scepter of the king. And he will hide us in his pavilion. Notice the end of verse 4, and we'll go a different direction, Lord willing, in the morning. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. The Hebrew word for love there is actually in the plural. We will remember thy loves. So it's not like the love of Jesus is divided, but he's got so much love toward his elect that he chooses so many different administrations to send it out. And she looks back and responds and says, your loves are so many. Yes, think of it, children. How many years has God got invested in your walk? Yes, how many years has God anointed preachers to come and say things that was for you only? How many years has God molded and shaped and worked? Do you think he's brought you this far to leave you now? Oh, no. Oh, no. Remember, he is your beloved. He is your friend. He is your friend. Brother Ron Spencer texted me today. We're going up there in a few weeks for some meetings. And just tell me, you know, his friends do. Buddy, I love you and you're a great pal and all that sort of thing. I said, Brother Ron, I count it such an honor that the greatest men of God that are alive today call me their friend. It'd be one thing if I called them a friend, but for them to call me their friend, for the bride to call me their friend, to me, what an honor. As a matter of fact, Shakespeare said it many, many years ago, a man's wealth is not really his gold and silver, but it's the amount of friends that he has. And I think of my life. I told you here the other day how few friends I've had all my life before I got saved and come into the Lord, and how few I had in school. And I was so persecuted being a Christian in school. And I always wanted friends. Now God's given to me around the globe. Because I'm so good? No, I ain't no good. I got such a great character and reputation? No. Gifts from my Father. Gifts from my Father. I read of one famous man in England, and he was friends with one of the people in the court of the king. He actually didn't know the king himself, but he just happened to be a friend of the chancellor. And the only thing he wanted put on his tombstone whenever the man died was, he was a friend of Lord so-and-so. And I thought, and all the good it's going to do him now where he's at. For some folks to be a friend of President Obama, not saying that that wouldn't be an honor, he's our president. Or to be the president of, you know, the friend of a sheriff or a friend of a judge or something like that. You know how our flesh is. We'd brag about it and talk about it. But the greatest friend there's ever been is allowing you to be his friend. What an honor. He is my beloved. He is my friend. Me and Jesus are buddies. Pals. We have heart-to-heart talk sometimes. I sit down today in my basement trying to study where I study at. The presence of God came down where I was, preparing for today and tomorrow. And as I got up to a certain part of it, I just had to stop. Because once I saw what was there, I couldn't read no more because my eyes were filling up and the letters was all running together. What was it? The presence of my friend. Oh, you mean he's that way at home? He wants to be that way where we are. Carol told me the other day, she said, I can tell when the anointing is there. She said, sometimes I'm upstairs studying. And she said, I just go to getting these thoughts about stuff. And then you come that night and preach it. And she said, I realize it was the Holy Ghost there. He don't want to just be that way in the Reagan home. He wants to be that way in your home. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll look at this in the morning. I'll give you just a little bit to whet your appetite. Chapter 7, verse 1. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a cunning workman. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Praise the Lord Jesus. How many knows Him tonight as a friend? If you don't, friend, you can certainly develop into that. To have a friendship with Jesus. Where you and Jesus are on such close terms. I've lost friends in my life that hurt me. You know, it hurts you when you lose folks that you think are friends and it seems like the differences are irreconcilable. Just breaks your heart when it's that way. But I know one thing. I never want to lose this friend. Because if I lose this friend, I lose my deposit to life. I lose the payment of my sins. I lose the ointment. I lose my Redeemer. But I believe by His grace, He's done a work in our hearts to where our friendship is secure for eternity. Amen. How many of you just like to be remembered tonight as a closer walk with the Lord? You want to be closer to Him. Be more of what He wants you to be. Heavenly Father, thank You tonight, Lord. I know these are very simple things, and no doubt other brethren could take it and make it so much more profound and all that, but all I can do is bring it in the way that I'm called and gifted to do so. Lord Jesus, I pray that You let each of us, by hearing it, let it create a greater hunger in us to long to know You in a more real way. Lord, I don't want to just study the message doctrines and study the quotes and to know the theology side. But I want to know You in a greater way. Lord, it wasn't miracles that brought me to this message. I'd already seen the dead raised. I'd already seen cancers healed. I'd already seen all kinds of things when I was in Pentecost before I ever come to this message. So it was not that that drawed my attention. But I'd never heard a man talk about You the way Brother Ram did. I never heard a man bring Your person into such clear view as He did. So it wasn't just the signs, the miracles. It ain't no wonder that some of the folks left, because all they believed was the sign. But I'm so glad I heard the voice after the sign. And the voice I heard pointed me to You, Lord. Lord Jesus, help me to stand still long enough till You can do the embroidery work on my life. Lord, I know for the high priest, it took weeks and weeks and months in order to make his garments. The scarlet color that was used, the blue, the riband of blue that was on the bottom of his garment, the crimson scarlet color had come from the little female bug that was there in that part of the country. It takes several little small bugs of those to get just barely a drop of that dye in order to dye those garments. So it was a very, very slow process. But it was worth it. Help us not to be weary in well-doing. Some of us, You've been molding us and embroidering our lives for years. Lord, it may go from one trial to another, one test to another. Each test, we gain a few more stitches, a few more colors that are added. And You're writing our life story, embroidered with the redemptive ink of the blood of the Lord Jesus. And when it's all finished, it'll be a testimony of the work of God. Help us, Father, I pray, to be faithful and to be patient, that You can do the work in each of our lives. We love You, Lord Jesus. I've just been saying it to You over and over again this week, my friend. I'd known that already, but somehow it just seemed like I've had a revival about it this week. I thank You for it. Thank You, my friend. Hallelujah. Praise Your name, Lord. Would You minister to the needs of Your children tonight, Lord Jesus? Praise the Lord. You love Him, children, with all your heart. Amen. Brother Ben Davis testified here a few services back about what the Lord had done for him. He called me the other day and said the Lord had got a hold of his two children, done something in their hearts. They're going to be baptized right here tonight, so we want them to come and prepare for that. That's what I love about a God-given revival. We don't pray it down, beat it down, work it down, but God sends it. And it may start in one individual's heart, and then another person catches on fire, and another person, and another person. That's the way we want it, isn't it? You need a revival sometimes in your heart? Sure we do. Well, we don't need to be saved and all that. We're already saved. But we need a renewing, a refreshing, coming into the court of the King. Praise God. Let the north wind blow. Praise be to God. We'll get into it a little bit more in the morning when he goes to describing her and bringing traits of her that he's not unveiled thus far until we get to chapter 7. Then when we arrive in chapter 7, he begins to unveil things about her that he's not yet said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing it, hey. Let's just worship together now a little bit. Before we go, now remember, the King has drawn you into his court. He stretched forth the scepter. It's your move now. Reach forth and touch it. He'll step down and get you. Help you up the steps, up to his throne. And you'll be seated right here by him. Let's worship him now.
Saturate my soul.
Yes, Lord.
Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow. The lover of my soul. Oh, saturate my soul.
My soul, Lord Jesus.
Let the river flow.
Hallelujah.
Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul.
Hallelujah.
Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul.
Everybody sing it now.
Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul.
My beloved spoke.
My beloved spoke.
Amen.
Said unto me, rise up, my fair one. Come away with me. Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul
again.
Oh, saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, saturate my soul. Behold, the winter is past.
Yes,
the rains are over and gone.
Yes, my God.
Flowers appear on the earth again. The time of singing is come.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your word. How it stimulates our souls, Lord. Father, to know that you are our friend. Lord, to us, you are so great and so marvelous and so wonderful. Lord, there would be no question why we would want to be your friend. But Lord, that you, who hung the moon and the stars, would want to be our friend, Lord. And not only a friend to us, but to our children. Lord, we thank you for what you've done in Brother Ben's family, Lord. Fill these children with the Holy Ghost. And I pray, Father, as they come forth from the water, may they walk as a living example of the living God, showing forth your mercy and your grace, we pray. Help them, Lord, to be a witness, not just with their words, Lord, but with their lives. We commit them into your hands for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Little sis, we baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. Just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we know, Lord, that there is something in a name. For you taught us, Lord, that Ricky and Elvis could not even come into this age. It was a name for this age. Lord, my little brother stands here in the water tonight, Lord, taking on your name. And Lord, as we have heard in your word, Lord, may the characteristics of your name be manifested in my young brother's life, Lord. Oh, God, if time should tarry, Lord, and there would be another generation, may we pass, Lord, the torch over to him, Lord, that he may carry it forth, declaring your word the same yesterday, today, and forever. Bless him, Lord God, as he walks, Lord, this path of righteousness. May you be with him, Lord, we pray. We commit his life into your hands, Lord, and once more, thank you, Father God, for not only being our friend, but being a friend to our children, that you'd reveal yourself to their hearts. We commit his life into your hands for your glory. In Jesus' name, little brother, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a cunning workman. Thy navel is like a round goblet, which wanteth not liquor. Thy belly is like a heap of wheat set about the lilies. Verse 4, thy neck is as a tower of ivory. Thine eyes like the fish pools in Heshbon. By the gate of Bath-Rabim. Thy nose is as the tower of Lebanon, which looketh toward Damascus. Thine head upon thee is like Carmel. And the hair of thine head like purple. The king is held in the galleries. He is so captivated by her beauty. He is held a prisoner in the galleries of her beauty. The king is held in the galleries. How fair, how pleasant art thou, O love. She becomes the very essence of what he's given her. He's given her love and given her love and given her love. And now he names her what he's given her. Oh, love. For delights. Oh, glory. She says, I am my beloved's. And his desire is toward me. Let's sing it again as we prepare to go. Saturate my soul. Do I understand how he can see this in me? I do not.
do I understand how the king would walk down the galleries? The galleries of praise and the galleries of prayer. We'll look into it in the morning. Do I understand how that he can walk down those galleries with me and be held so captive by my presence and what I'm rendering to him that he will stay as long as I want to stay? That I actually have power over omnipotence. That I have held the king captive. He is held in the galleries. Death couldn't hold him. Hell couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. But your love captures him and holds him a prisoner. Children, if we could only see what we mean to him. And what it means when we give him our utmost. Oh, before we go, can we just raise our hands? I know, feeble as they are, our words as feeble as they are. But let's just enter into a gallery now before we go of praise. A gallery was a long passageway built alongside the Millennium Temple in the book of Ezekiel. The word gallery is only used in two places in the entire Bible. One is the Song of Solomon, and the other is in the book of Ezekiel describing the Millennium Temple. It refers to the locks of the woman's hair and the passageway in the temple of worship. So he looks at her and he's held captive. And you think long hair don't mean something to God. Her locks spellbound him. Let's just worship him now as we enter into the galleries. We'll look at some of them in the morning, but let's just enter into the gallery. You know, it could be in an art gallery, a museum, or something like that. And you'd walk in the passageway, and you go into, here's the Renaissance period, and here's this period and that period, and you're just looking at these old masters, as they call them, and you're going from this gallery and that gallery, and you're just looking, and oh my, I said, wow, wow. If you can just imagine, here we are in the gallery tonight, and the Lord Jesus is just here among us. And in our language, so we can relate to it, he's just saying, wow, how awesome, how wonderful, my beloved. Oh, listen at her love me. Listen at her praise me. And we're saying, oh, he's awesome, he's awesome. And he's saying, oh, she's awesome, she's awesome. We're saying, he's wonderful, he's wonderful. He captured my heart. And he's saying, she's wonderful, she's wonderful. She captured my heart. And she won't let me go. She's got such a hold on me, I can't let go of her. Oh, Jesus. Saturate my soul, Lord. Let's sing it now while we're here in the gallery. This is the amazing thing about it to me. He'll stand right here in this gallery as long as you wish him to. Do you realize when you're in his presence, where you're hearing the word, preaching, praying, whatever it is that's going on in one of these galleries, you will be the first one to leave. He will not leave first unless you grieve him. He will stand there as long as you wish to. If you want to worship him for 30 minutes or an hour, hour and a half, he'll stand right there in the gallery because you hold him captive. You must release him before he can go. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just sing it. Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul. Let's walk down the galleries tonight, shall we? Look over here at this work of art. It's a picture of grace. Look at that one there. It was the life of ashes. It's been transformed into a work of beauty. This one here had a garment of heaviness. Oh, but now it's become with the praise. The garment has been changed to a garment of praise. Sadness and despair,
decrepitness was in this life. Now it's the touch of the master. Can't you see the brush strokes of the great divine painter himself? Oh, hallelujah, as we walk down the galleries of each work of art. Hallelujah! Oh, let's worship Him, saints. Hallelujah. Oh, saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Everybody, saturate. I'm here in the gallery with you, Lord Jesus. Let's just walk together, Lord. Let's just walk together. Hallelujah. Let's walk down the galleries of grace and the galleries of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my Father, the north wind below, lover of my soul. My beloved spoke, my beloved spoke. Oh, and said unto me, rise up, my fair one, come away with me. Amen. Fill us with rapturing faith, Lord. Hallelujah. Lover of my soul. Oh, saturate my soul. Let the river. Hallelujah, hallelujah. One night was the king. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We like the Shulamite. We were poor, wretched, blind, miserable, and naked. We started hearing terminology we'd never heard before. We heard about seven seals and seven thunders and the breach and the Son of Man, and we started hearing all this stuff, but we didn't understand it. But all of a sudden, we found ourselves sitting at the banqueting table of the king. And we raised up our eyes and we looked and saw a banner that was stretched over our head. And we found out the banner over me was love. So we started hearing all this terminology that we'd never quite heard before, and all these descriptive terms. And we found out he's talking about us. Was a country lad, you see. We never had been into a city life. So one day we was in our auntie's house and we was walking by the door. And our auntie had a full-length mirror on the door. And we walked by the door, we looked into that mirror and we saw a little lad in there. And we waved at him and he waved back. We started making all these different motions and we went to looking and we turned around to our mama, which in this case was our daddy, and said, Daddy, that's me. So we began to look into his word as he began to say all these things. And we thought, surely he talking about me. Surely he talking about me. And then we realized he was talking about me. Hallelujah. Then before long, we started talking like him. Amen. Amen. Because remember, Shulamite is the feminine form of Solomon. Hallelujah. So what happened? She come from where the lions and the leopards used to live. She come from the great craggy mountains. And she was escorted from there into the palace of the king. I've been a country boy all my life. But I'm being taught how to live. Try to get ready for city life. Not just any city, but the city of the king. So I'm coming like Esther. And I'm being bathed. And the chamberlain, my chamberlain, my chamberlain, my eunuch messenger has come and brought every spice, everything that I need to prepare me for the presence of the king. Where I can walk out, oh, I'm poor. I don't know, I'll be nervous. I'm not sure what I can do. But my chamberlain will have provided everything I have need of.
Listen it. One night with the King changes everything. Oh, let's love Him. One day in His courts, glory to God, did forever change my course. One moment in His presence. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. One night with the King changes everything. Once again, let's sing the chorus together. Oh, one night with the King. Remember, your night changes everything. Just one day. Listen, praise God. Oh, from the desert to the King, it had been my destiny to be chosen for such a time as this. I didn't know that all my dreams could become realities. Then I saw His face, His love captured me. Sing it again as our brother comes. Oh, one night with the King changes everything. Praise God. One day in the King's courts, it did forever change my course. Glory, never been the same. One night with the King changes everything. Because He changed everything, we're fixing to go up yonder. Sing it, my brother. Hallelujah.
If you want to know,
oh glory,
where I am going,
oh, yeah.
One day soon.
Hallelujah.
If anybody asks you,
glory,
where I'm going,
glory to God.
Listen to this. Oh, I can take the pain, the pains of life, the heartache they're sure to bring. But there's comfort in knowing I'm gonna one day soon be gone. God gives me grace. Run this Christian race till I see my Savior, till I see Him face to face with my own eyes. I'm going down under. I'm going up yonder.
I'm gonna be my own. Are you going? Are you going? Are you going? Are you going? You better know that you're going in the rapture.
Hallelujah.
It's going to be soon. This rapture, let me tell you, you better know that. Are you going? Are you going in the rapture
to be with my Lord? My Lord.
Do you know that the prophet said, whatever you do, you better be sure that you don't miss it. I don't care what you gotta do. I don't care what you gotta put off. But you better not miss it. That's what the prophet said. That's not what your pastor said. That's what Brother Joel said. The prophet said, you better not miss it. Whatever you do, make sure you don't miss it.
Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. I believe the gardener's in the house. I believe the gardener's been tending the grapes. And the gardener's tread out the grapes and handing out revelation. Amen. I believe the cup of the revelation is pouring out in our soul tonight. I tell the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Glory.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, don't get cute on God.
Hallelujah.
Don't get cute on Him. Just let go.
Hallelujah.
Ha.
Hallelujah. Let's love Him, saints. Oh, bless His name. Glory to God. Drunk again. Amen. Brother Ben said he'd been got saved. He'd been drunk every day since. Oh, I wish we'd get so good and drunk tonight we'd forget who we are. Forget what time it is. Forget about where you're going. Forget about all the troubles and the worries. Get so caught up in the presence of the King.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yes, 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 yes.
Oh, bless your name. Got another, Brother Joel? Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Got something else on your heart?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus.
Jesus. Listen. Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
There's just something about that name.
Jesus, he loves
yes,
to
hear
Lord,
it's name. Your name here tonight. Your
like the fragrance.
Amen.
After
come on, Brad,
the rain. I'm not talking about who the Gaithers know. I'm talking about who you know. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. If you know him, sing it with me. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Listen, you hear that name? That's better than your name. There's just something, you're mine. You turn around and then you became mine. But let me know that you're my Jesus. A good and saturating rain. Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven
Jesus, we worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your name. We unworthy Shulamites raised in leopard country, come from barren, dry wilderness. Now we sit at the table of the King. Hallelujah. We have not only accepted your love, but you turn and call us, oh, love. We have become the epitome of grace. Hallelujah. We are a proof that Calvary was a success. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your holy name, Lord. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain.
Yes, Lord.
But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again.
Glory.
I won't be satisfied till I see my Jesus. See my Jesus breaking through the clouds. I won't be satisfied. Oh no. Oh no. I won't be satisfied.
Glory.
I won't be satisfied.
Amen.
Till I see my Jesus.
Yes.
See my Jesus breaking through the clouds. I won't be satisfied. Oh no.
the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, I guess you can be dismissed if you can find your way to your car. If you can't, you can sit down and raise your hand, and we'll try to find somebody sober enough to help you out. Which won't be me. Oh, don't you love His presence, Kevin? This is what we live for. This is what we live for. Child of the King. Let's sing this as we go. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. His royal. God bless you, saints. See you in the morning. Hallelujah. Amen. And I was wretched.
I was so wretched.
So poor. Now can see. Oh, praise God.
Praise God. I'm a child of the King. Child of the King, now His Lord, His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and so poor. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and so poor, thank you.